presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, I thought Kirby Smart said something really funny. Now, Kirby Smart, I believe, is kind of an underrated funny guy, to be honest with you. He's a little funnier from time to time than some people might think. I thought he said something semi-funny with the Georgia-Notre Dame game. Oh, we will hear that from him coming up in a little bit. Before we do that, though, let's get into a little bit of recruiting news. Now, we'll do a lot more of this afternoon as part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. I'm sure Jeff Sintel will have a lot to say on a number of topics. But there was one recruiting target for Georgia in particular that I've seen get some attention recently, and I want to make sure we highlighted that as a part of our program here today. CBSSports.com has a partnership with 24/7 Sports, and I'm sure you're aware of 24/7. They do some recruiting coverage and whatnot. And Barton Simmons is a national analyst for 24/7 Sports, and he occasionally writes for CBS. And I guess 24/7 has just done their re-rank of some of their prospects. And to be clear here, sometimes this can be confusing. The various recruiting outlets will do their own and individual rankings, and then 24/7 comes on top of that with their 24/7 composite. This is not an evaluation of the 24/7 composite. This is an evaluation from 24/7 and its specific scouting from its people. And one of the guys that has really arisen in the ranks, climbed the ladder a bit as of late, is a guy you've probably heard Jeff Sintel talk about, he's written about, and that's Noah Sewell, the really impressive linebacker from out of the state of Utah. So much so that according to 24/7 and its individual ratings, not its composite ratings, but its individual ratings, Noah Sewell is now a 5-star and is among the fastest, highest risers in the recent 24/7 re-rank. Barton Simmons, writing for CBSSports.com, had some very complimentary things to say of him, including a comparison that kind of stopped me in my tracks. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't mention this in the show at all. But the comparison that Barton uses for Sewell, I thought was pretty wild here. Let me read you a few sentences from CBSSports.com on Noah Sewell, who's now a 5-star, according to 24/7. Barton says, one of the 6 new 5-stars in the latest updates, Noah Sewell, 266-pound inside linebacker, who's as good in space as the guy's 50 pounds lighter. At that frame, Barton says, Sewell has a 35-inch vertical, runs a 4.75 40-yard dash, and plays running back in addition to linebacker for his high school. Now, here's the comparison that I think is pretty outrageous when it comes to Noah Sewell, but based on the film that I've seen myself, not that I'm a scout, but it's pretty apparent on the film, this is a unique athletic specimen. So much so that Barton Simmons from CBS Sports says, we've compared him to Devin White, that's the big linebacker last year from LSU, who was a top 10 pick in the most recent NFL draft. But Barton says, in addition to Devin White, he could just as easily be compared to another first-round draft pick if he wanted to change positions, Ed Oliver, one of the more athletic defensive linemen we've seen in college football in quite some time. Barton goes on to say that he's younger brother of an Oregon starter. He's also had brothers playing at Utah and Nevada. He says, but the FCC has a very real chance of landing him. Georgia, Alabama, and LSU among the favorites. So we'll get into the recruiting part of this for Noah Sewell in a moment, a name that you probably familiarized yourself with a good bit lately. But how about this idea that you've got this really big linebacker who really runs? National analyst says, this guy could be like LSU's Devin White, or you could be like the former 5-star defensive lineman Ed Oliver, who did big things at Houston, if he wanted to be a part of that position. Now, I will admit, selfishly, I love the idea of Ed Oliver's name coming up on the show because it gives me a chance to do something I didn't think I would ever get to do. Now, for those of you watching on video, you'll get this radio podcast. I apologize. I have in my possession here an Ed Oliver bobblehead. The University of Houston sent these out last year to kind of promote him for the Heisman Trophy. And this is Oliver sitting on a horse. I guess I don't know if this horse is like part of their mascot or whatever. But in addition to Oliver's head bobbing, the horse's head bobs too. So I've had this on my desk. They just mailed these out to all the news outlets a year or so ago. And I didn't think I'd ever get to use the Ed Oliver bobblehead doll here on Dog Nation Daily. But I'm going to use that today to say, how cool would it be to one day see a Georgia linebacker riding a horse, getting a Georgia uniform on a bobblehead doll? Apparently, that's the kind of company that national analysts are putting Noah Sewell in right now. And Jeff Sintel talked a lot about Noah a week ago on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. My guess is that topic comes up again here this week as well. And you heard the potential suitors. Obviously, there's the West Coast pull because Sewell is in the state of Utah and because he's had brothers that have kind of been in that world. The SEC teams heavily involved. LSU, Alabama gets mentioned. Barton also mentions Georgia, too. That's old news for us here at Dog Nation because we've seen the reporting that Jeff Sintel has done on this, including Jeff catching up with Gabriel Sewell, who is Noah's dad. And Gabriel, Mr. Sewell, did not really mince any kind of words about, being very interested, heavily involved in Georgia. This is what Noah Sewell's dad has said before, but the potential connection between his son and UGA, here is Gabriel Sewell.
He's going to make his decision based on feel. And although academics is important to him, it's going to be about the people in the building where the, and where that, those people are taking that program and how well of a ride he's going to.
He said he will go top eight. He may go top five. He wants to announce before the end of his senior year. Is Georgia moving up that board? Are they becoming up there? How would you just rate them without?
No, I think, well, as of right now, he's only locked in three official visits, and Georgia's one of them. Wow. So, I mean, I've advised him, we're not going to use an official visit on someone who's not going to be contender. I don't think that's respectful to the program, to the coaches, and to yourself, because it's not a good way to use your time. I mean, you could actually be using that time to, you know, looking into something that you're really interested in. So as far as that question, Georgia's pretty up the front.
So I'm going to be very candid here for a moment. You know, I obviously follow recruiting really closely because of how strongly I believe it impacts what ultimately happens on college football Saturdays. The winning and the losing, for the most part, is determined by the recruiting gains and the recruiting losses that you accumulate over the previous year. So I believe that recruiting is incredibly important to the landscape of college football. And yet at the same time, I'm not a recruiting reporter. I'm not one of these guys that you know, is at every prospect camp that's evaluating these guys from the sophomore year on. So from that standpoint, there's always going to be an example of a guy who just kind of sneaks up on me over time because I'm not following them every single day. I'm mostly following it from that 10,000-foot viewpoint. Noah Sewell's the perfect example of that. Jeff Sintel was probably talking about Sewell before I was paying much attention. Just to be fair and just to be honest, my attention was on some other linebackers for this 2020 class before I was ever really giving much thought, much attention to Noah Sewell. But what's the line that DiCaprio used in that movie? You once had my curiosity, now you have my attention. That's the kind of deal here with that, where I used to be kind of curious about Noah Sewell. Now he has my full attention. Because a big guy that runs as well as he does, a guy that seems to look as good on film as he does, a guy that national analysts are comparing to a linebacker version of Devin White, a defensive line version of Ed Oliver, all of a sudden, that's the kind of thing that is going to pique my interest. I'm sure piquing yours as well. And all of a sudden, when his dad, Gabriel Sewell, says, we wouldn't be giving an official visit to Georgia if we didn't strongly believe that Georgia was a potential fit for our son, all of a sudden, at that point in time, I'm listening a whole lot more closely to that. Noah Sewell was a good player before I was ever talking about him here on Dog Nation Daily. That's a big mistake. This is a fast-rising prospect. He's finally getting the national attention he's probably deserved for a long time. He's certainly getting a lot more attention here on Dog Nation Daily than he's gotten in the past. And I think I probably speak on behalf of all Georgia fans that say having Sewell in this 2020 class for the Dogs would be a very good thing. And my guess is, as I said before, Sewell's name will probably come up again today on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. Can't wait to see you for that. But before that, though, we got plenty more of this. My name is Brandon Adams, and it's Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're normally on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. They did give me a heads up today. We're going to air an hour later today, so for those of you in the Athens area who listen to that 960 The Ref, we are on at 1 p.m. today. That's a one-day-only thing. They've got some special high school football coverage coming up today, so we'll go an hour later on the radio at 1 p.m. today and be back again at noon tomorrow. And, of course, on-demand audio in the podcast, wherever you find it, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player. Many of you just listen to the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. However you access our program, we're really glad to have you a part of that. And as I said before, we'll do Before the Hedges presented by Kroger later on today at 3 p.m. Hope to have you join us for that, too. All right. Let me take a couple of minutes to take care of a little bit of business here, because I've got a series of announcements, and I hope I can get all this in. I hope I can kind of cover all these bases for a moment, because there is some Kirby Smart stuff I want to do here too. Let me first of all say this. Y'all know how excited I am by Dog Nation Days of Summer coming up next Thursday. That's August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in beautiful Towns County, Georgia. You have seen the video by now, for those of you who watched the show, how great it looks. The golf course is in perfect condition. It's just a fantastic, fantastic resort. North Georgia mountains are awesome this time of year. We can't wait to be there. Now, I've also been telling you that over the course of the next few days, I was going to give you some reasons why Dog Nation Days of Summer keeps getting bigger. And I love doing that around here. You know, it's always really fun to just keep, as I like to say, plussing these events, taking them, making them a little bit better, making them a little bit better. Well, I'm happy to say that Dog Nation Days of Summer has now gotten even bigger and better, because I'm proud to welcome in a special guest up there. How about one of the great legends of the early 80s with the Georgia Bulldogs, and a guy who, by the way, still has a nice little connection to the current team as well. How about Scott Werner there at Dog Nation Days of Summer on Thursday, August 1st? I can tell you this right now. Of all the great Georgia players of the past, and Scott was a great player, of all the great Georgia players of the past, I don't know that any of them are a better storyteller than Scott Werner. And I don't know that anyone has, because of his family connection to Charlie Werner, I don't know that anyone has a better sort of feel and grasp for what's going to happen with this current team this upcoming year. So the kind of fun, casual, get ready for the season type conversation that we like having around Dog Nation, that just got even more fun and even better with Scott Werner on hand with us next Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa for Dog Nation Days of Summer. That's going to be incredible. Now, let me also make this announcement as well. One of the things that we did at our previous Dog Nation Days of Summer event was we had some room in our VIP reception for people who were not staying at the hotel that night. And I guess there has been, I talked to my people, and I guess that we're able to now partition off a couple of spots. We've been asked about this. Hey, you know, we're in the North Georgia area. We don't need to stay, but we do want the VIP experience. I can't get to the personalized gift. It's too late to do that. I can't give you a gift. It just won't be personalized. But if you want information about how you can get into the VIP reception, there is a ticket associated with this, and our folks here behind the scenes will tell you more about that. Let me give you an email address to go to. DogNationHelp@gmail.com. Now, when I tell you, they won't give me much more than like a couple of these. I have a small handful of additional VIP reception tickets available on kind of a first-come, first-served basis for those who reach out at the email address that you see on your screen below, where I'm going to read to you now, dognationhelp@gmail.com. It's dognationhelp@gmail.com, and you can find out more information about how you can squeeze your way into the VIP reception. The big public reception open to everybody begins at 6 p.m. We have a VIP reception that starts at 5. We've already got a whole host of people that are going to be a part of that. For those of you that are staying overnight, y'all, the fun's going to extend well beyond the regular event itself, and we might be able to make room for a couple more, but you got to go to dognationhelp@gmail.com if you want to find out more information about that. Now, are we also prepared to announce the winner of our VIP stay giveaway, courtesy of Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa? All right, let's go ahead and do that a bit too here. I am proud to announce, we throw this up on the screen, I've been telling you now for a while that we were going to have a Dog Nation Days of Summer VIP giveaway. We shut off the entries for that earlier this week, and now proud to announce that Brad Morgan is the winner. Brad, you are the winner of the Dog Nation Days of Summer VIP giveaway. So we'll look forward to seeing you there at Brasstown. Incredibly fun. Looking forward to that. Can't wait to see you there as a part of Dog Nation Days of Summer. That is going to be a ton of fun. All right. I am running just a little bit late, but let me kind of transition here and do our Around the Doghouse. It's presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. This is going to be, I think, a really fun thing, because obviously a lot of what we're talking about here today, including Around the Doghouse presented by ESOG, is the build up to the Georgia Notre Dame game. We're going to have Brad Nessler, the great CBS sports broadcaster, on in a minute. He's going to talk about that. The folks at CBS are obviously really excited about all this. The Georgia fans are really excited about all this. Even Kirby Smart himself is certainly paying homage to just how big this game is in the landscape of college football and for Georgia in particular. In fact, let me let you hear a little bit of him talking about the game from the SEC Network going back to SEC Media Days. Now, this was recorded off of TV, so it's not perfect audio, but it is a nice chance to hear Kirby Smart saying what he feels like this game means to a Dog Nation. Here is Kirby on that topic.
Coach, we threw up the schedule there just a minute ago. There's that September 21st game that a lot of people are looking at against Notre Dame. We're not going to ask you to look ahead. Don't worry. I know Vanderbilt's most important early on. But when you think about Georgia fans and the way that they have responded against Notre Dame before, what do you expect, especially knowing that this one's in Athens?
Raucous environment, you know, a night game, and we certainly got a lot of games to get to that point, but I think it'll be a special venue. It's going to be Vince Dooley Field named by that point,
right,
to get to play Notre Dame, who he had a historic game against. I think it's what you want in 150th year of college football.
I love that from Kirby Smart. This is a perfect game for the 150th year of college football. The game taking place on Dooley Field makes it even more special. Just a great, great backdrop for the sport that night. I'm looking forward to talking to Brad Nessler from CBS Sports about that just in a moment. Before that, though, let me remind you that Around the Doghouse is brought to you by our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And they are a solutions-based company. That means when it comes to water in your basement or a crack in your foundation, anything like that, if it's a simple fix, they'll tell you exactly how to do it. But if it's a bigger, more problematic situation, you want experts working to help you get that done. Engineered Solutions of Georgia has two full-time engineers on staff. So trust the ones that Dog Nation would trust. If we had some sort of foundation issue or waterproofing issue, something along those lines, our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. The great news is they are very easy to get in touch with. Simply dial 678-ESOG now. That number once again, 678-ESOG now. And of course, it's always great to have Engineered Solutions of Georgia as a part of Dog Nation Daily. I hope you enjoy Brad Nessler right now. And boy, I tell you what, around Dog Nation, there is a huge level of excitement for what's going to happen on September 21st. We already had a suspicion that it might be a night game. CBS confirmed that yesterday, and the news has been just incredibly received by all kinds of Georgia fans, and I'm presuming Notre Dame fans on this as well. The guy that will call that game along with Gary Danielson on CBS Sports is Brad Nessler. He joins us back here at Dog Nation Daily once again. Brad, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Always good to be with you, Brandon. We're looking forward to the 21st, too. And I know it. 2 years ago, it was Georgia Bulldog Nation North at Notre Dame. I don't know if it's going to be that way when they come to Athens. I don't think a lot of Dog fans are going to want to give up their tickets for that game that night.
No, I think you're probably right about that. I don't think Georgia fans are going to be quite as willing to part with theirs, even though the secondary market has the tickets really high on that. And I guess I was kind of curious about, you know, your perspective coming from the CBS side on this. For Georgia fans, this is a really big deal. From the CBS standpoint of the fact that it's such a unique non-conference game. Notre Dame's not been to Athens before. Until recently, Georgia just didn't really play these kinds of games all that much. How much do you think the idea of the uniqueness of this resonates nationally? You're obviously broadcasting this to all 50 states. Do you think the country gets what a cool deal this is for the fans that are involved in this game?
Yeah, I really do. You know, we looked at the schedule, and when we saw it was home and home from 2 years ago, and looked ahead and saw that it was, you know, had a capability of being a primetime game that we would have. We were pretty excited about it, and Gary and I, you know, and our programming department, everybody looking ahead to it. You know, it wasn't a big secret to me. I opened my Yap at the SEC Media Days about 20 different times last week that we were having that game, and then we went out to dinner with the commissioner, and Dan Weinberg, our programming director guy at CBS, said, yeah, well, we're probably going to announce it sometime this week. And I said, well, I've announced it about 50 times to my friends already, so I guess I let the cat out of the bag to a lot of the folks that I might have said something to actually months ago. I apologize to my employers for opening up, but you know, we looked at that and said we knew that we probably had to make some concessions, and in the case of Alabama and LSU, that was what was going to have to go away from being a nighttime game. And so, you know, we had to do a swap there. We knew that going in. I guess we weren't 100% confirmed until yesterday, but LSU and Alabama is going to be a 3:30 game. I can tell everybody that right now, too, instead of a night game. But we think that's just too great an opportunity. The two major marquee programs from, you know, different parts of the country that, you know, Notre Dame's never been to Athens. You go back, the National national championship game in 80. We'll have a lot of flashbacks to that and flashbacks from 2 years ago because it was a great game. It was Jake's first start. You know, it came down to the last minute and a half, a strip sack, or it might end up being a different story. And, you know, that really got Georgia on their way to the great season they had. So, and I think it also kind of shocked Notre Dame into having as good a year as they had last year, you know, going undefeated in the regular season. So that all kind of set things up, and I don't know if those teams will be as good as the teams of those 2 years, but I think everybody thinks so right now.
You know, you said something kind of interesting, and I was, I guess, kind of curious where you would come down on this. You've obviously done a lot of big games over the years, and it sounds like you're also a little extra excited for this game because it is a night game. I can tell you from the perspective of fans, myself and the people that I talk to every single day, the game is made bigger because it will be dark. There's just something cool about a night game in the SEC, and it sounds like you think the TV product is also slightly made better by the primetime window. That's a unique environment for CBS. Most of the games y'all do are obviously 3:30. You've had, right, as you said before, LSU, Alabama in that spot now for a number of years. It sounds like there's also a little bit of extra excitement in the broadcast booth to be able to call this game under the lights as well.
No doubt about it. And, you know, we don't get an opportunity to do Notre Dame very often. And I did when I was at ESPN, but it was only road games. But, you know, those tended to be games that weren't that great, you know, when they were on the road. This is big time. I mean, this has got bowl game feel to it, basically in the third, fourth week of the season, however you want to look at the start of the season. And I think the only thing that would make it better, not just throw it out there right now because I know Kirby listens to you every day, I think black jerseys would be just perfect for that night, don't you?
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Listen, Brad, you better believe there are a lot of Georgia fans who are already wondering if that might be in the offering. So I think that'd be a lot of fun to think about there, especially just given all the pageantry that already be in place for that. Now, you do realize that that's going to stir people up even more to think about the possibility of putting those jerseys on. Georgia hasn't worn those in a couple years.
Well, I'll tell you one guy that I talked to about it, and I can put it this way. I don't have to name his name. He happens to be a really good quarterback, and he was at the Manning Passing Academy about 3 weeks ago or a month ago. I was there for a couple days, and I just happened to mention the Notre Dame game, and somebody said, you know, black jerseys would be nice. And I said, well, you better get on that right now with the coach if you really want to get that through. And the aforementioned player said, I might not get another chance to ever wear them. I'm not going to name any names. I'm just saying there's probably some kids on the Georgia team that wouldn't mind doing that too.
A couple more minutes here with Brad Nesser from CBS Sports. And you talked about how the history of the 1980 game and what happened in 2017 will be a part of the story that CBS tells that night. I guess I'm also curious about this, and it may be too early to determine this one way or another. You may remember back in December, there were a lot of tweets from Georgia players about their exclusion from the playoff and Notre Dame's inclusion after Notre Dame got beaten up a bit by Clemson. I think most of the Georgia players who tweeted that, frankly, probably regret that now. Even some Georgia fans weren't all that happy with that look. It seemed to some to be kind of sour grapes. But does that add to the spice of this game beyond the pageantry, beyond the history being made by having Notre Dame in Athens, knowing that there's also potentially a little bit of bad blood anytime there's one of these, I guess, interregional deals where an SEC team takes on a Midwest team? Does that add to the spice of this, in your opinion?
I think it probably does. Too early to tell. I think there's more problems right now between Clemson and Alabama talking back and forth. But, you know, if Notre Dame was a tougher opponent than somebody else and all that stuff that's going on right now, I don't pay a lot of attention to that. But obviously that will heat up as we go through fall practice. And, you know, everybody's got to win a couple games before we can look at that and say, okay, this is you know, it's going to be number maybe 3 against number, I don't know, 12. Who knows? I don't know what the rankings are going to be like. But, you know, I spent some time with Ian Book, too, at the aforementioned camp. And I said, you're going to love Athens at night, man. It's awesome. And he just looked at me and said, I can't wait. I was really impressed with him. He's a good kid and, you know, really smart, accurate. He's got a better arm than I thought he did after watching him throw for a couple of days. So they've got a really good leader. They got a good coach. They got a team that needs a few things. They got their offensive line for the most part back. They got a couple receivers that caught 50 balls last year. They got to replace their running back, but they'll find a running back. I mean, they're going to be a really good team. I don't think they're going to be 12-1 team, but because they've got to go to Michigan, Stanford, and Georgia. But, you know, worry about worry about the losses that could come. I just want them to beat New Mexico and Louisville so they're undefeated when they come to Georgia.
Let me finish up with this, if you don't mind. You mentioned being at SEC Media Days last week, and I know you saw the chatter that exists around Georgia. And by now, this is a very familiar storyline. This is, as you said, almost in everybody's book, going to be the preseason number three team in the country. And Georgia, Kirby Smart, the players who were on hand last week, talked openly about their unfinished business, the need to win a national championship. And yet, if they were to play Alabama tomorrow on a neutral site field, as you know, Alabama's still a point spread favorite, and there are these missed opportunities versus Alabama the last couple of years. What do you think about that storyline for Georgia, and how do you think Georgia handled the question surrounding what it still needs to do when it spoke last week at SEC Media Days?
I think they were straight up, you know, whatever their motto is, do more. They got to do just that much more. And you know, everybody asked me about them getting over the hump. I say they were on top of the hump 2 years in a row. They just fell back off at the wrong direction. You know, when they learn how to get on that hump and then lean forward, they're as good as anybody, and that includes Alabama. But until they beat them, you know, that's just going to be the rhetoric for those two teams for years to come. And everybody expects that they're going to be the two teams that we'll see December 7th in Atlanta again. We got a lot of ball left before then, Brandon, and I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Brad, I'm going to tell you this right now. When it comes to a really big college football game, which Georgia-Notre Dame is, the one thing all fans want is for the guys in the booth to also be fans, and it's pretty clear that you're a fan of this sport. You love college football. You understand the history that's involved with this game. You understand what it could also mean for Georgia and, frankly, for Notre Dame as well in terms of the present tense of what they want to do this season. We are already at a fever pitch for this. We're really glad to have you personally on the call. Can't wait to welcome CBS back to Athens once again. Thank you so much for being here on Dog Nation Daily today, and boy, I'll look forward to seeing you hopefully a bunch around the season this year, because a lot of appearances for George on CBS likely mean some good news for the Dogs.
No, that's good news, Brandon. I'll talk to you before that game, I'm sure, but we'll be ready to rock and roll that night.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for your time, Brad.
You got it, buddy.
Great stuff there from Brad Nessler. And how about him not mincing words whatsoever with the call out for the black jerseys for Georgia Notre Dame? That is, to me, a little unexpected from Nessler there. We'll do more on the black jersey stuff, I think, later on in our program today. But he's flat out saying that Jake Fromm wants to wear them. And I think we even wrote about this a little bit on DogNation.com last week. Fromm wants to wear the black jerseys. Brad says, we're already there. It's a night game. It's CBS. It's a little bit of a callback to the Georgia-Auburn game in 2007 in the intense atmosphere there. What do you say we go ahead and throw a little more hot sauce on this gumbo, so to speak, and do some black jerseys there too? That is an interesting scenario to think about. And, you know, y'all, I was on the radio this morning in Athens. I was talking to the folks from 960 The Ref about this. I visit with them every Wednesday, and it's just so funny from a college football standpoint. And if you live the world of college football every single day, you understand this completely. And if you don't, this doesn't make any sense at all. We have known for, I reckon, years that the Georgia-Notre Dame game would be September 21st here this upcoming season. That's not news. We have known now for quite some time that CBS had narrowed it down to either 3:30 or 8 p.m. So we only had two broadcast windows they could possibly be in. We've known that for a while. In addition to that, it has long been suspected that the game would be at night, so much so that if Nessler says that at SEC Media Days, for the most part, no one has that strong of a reaction to it, because that's what's all expected. And yet, even still, when CBS officially says, y'all know that Georgia game that everybody's excited about, that everybody thinks is a really big deal, well, we think it's a really big deal too, and the energy around the game just amps up all that much more. I got to tell you, this is one of the cool days in Sanford Stadium history coming up. And, you know, you hear Kirby Smart talk about this, and he talks about how the fact that the game is made even more important now because it'll take place on Dooley Field. It'll be the first, and apologies to the other opponents that Georgia will have played by then, it'll be the first big game to take place on the soil now known as Dooley Field. And that's poignant, just given the fact that it was Vince Dooley himself who went out and got that win against Notre Dame way back in 1980 that led to that consensus national championship, the last one that Georgia's won. And that fuels the fire for the hunger for Georgia to go out and get the next. And much the same way that Notre Dame was a springboard towards that in 1980, I think there is some belief that that this Notre Dame game here this year could also be that springboard for this upcoming season, because it obviously gives Georgia that national cachet. And on a day in which, you know, people will be looking to make that comparison of what does Georgia look like compared to an Alabama? What does Georgia look like compared to a Clemson? Because let's not forget, and Brad Nessler a moment ago did kind of touch on this. We had Clemson players last week saying that Notre Dame was the toughest opponent they played all last season. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison because Notre Dame's lost a lot, especially on its defense talent from a year ago. But that's a pretty good, strong statement for Georgia to be able to make of, you know, that opponent last year you said on your way to a national championship that you called your toughest opponent? Well, here's what we were just able to do to them in Athens, Georgia. It's obviously getting pretty greedy, and that's obviously getting certainly putting the cart well before the horse. But that's the opportunity that Georgia still has in front of it, that chance to go out and just make a gigantic statement to the rest of the country. You better believe, major eyeballs, the world's going to be watching. That's just going to be a really fun thing to consider. Let me also say one more thing about this before we move on. I was really glad as well to hear Brad Nessler talk about the fact that on the CBS broadcast, they will be cultivating the previous history, both the fact that Georgia made a good showing of itself, especially with its fans traveling there in 2017. It's kind of funny how that's still a pretty big national story. All the Georgia fans who were in the Chicago area in the South, in South Bend in particular, that particular day, and the 1980 game. You know, if you go back and rewatch the NBC broadcast from September of 2017, I thought NBC in particular did a really good job of cultivating that history. They had Herschel Walker as a part of their, you know, opening video package. They had an all-time great from Notre Dame as well, although I don't remember who that was. They had, you know, just a collection of highlights, and they, I think they, from a video standpoint, did a really good job of telling the story about what that one in 2017 meant. I'm really excited to hear that CBS is already on that footing as well to say this isn't just a really big game between two teams who have playoff aspirations. This also represents something that college football just hasn't seen a whole lot. You know, we didn't have these kinds of non-conference games until recently. Georgia paving the way on that and also welcoming in a pretty big opponent. Y'all, I got to tell you, I think this is going to be a really, really fun day. And it was a thrill for me, here's a part of Dog Nation Daily, to be able to bring that to you. And I hope you enjoyed that as well.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Covering a lot of ground here on Dog Nation Daily here today. Fun to have Brad Nessler on the program. We'll talk more about what he had to say, I guess, here coming up in just a little bit as well. I also want to address something in just a moment that many of you have asked me to speak on. We will do that coming up. First, let me remind you about my friends in Kroger, because now in select Kroger stores, you get one-hour delivery available. What an amazing world we live in now when Kroger offers one-hour delivery. You can go to Kroger.com or the Kroger app and begin placing your order today. Kroger's here to obviously help you get some time back during the summer months, and we're heading towards that back-to-school season. Frankly, nobody has enough time. My wife tells me all the time about, you know, the challenges of trying to get it all done with kids getting ready to go back to school and soaking that last little bit up in the summer. So Kroger's making it easier for you. And select areas, one-hour delivery, just find them online, either Kroger.com or through the Kroger app, and you can get more information about that. And I think that is certainly a really cool thing. All right, so as part of our SEC through, some of you have asked me to discuss this, that ESPN has done its part, and it's kind of a, I guess, a like a concerted effort, you know, sort of a group effort here to rank the various running back universities, or as we say around here, RBU, wide receiver U, quarterback U, and everything else. And the thing that's most shocking to the most people is the fact that Georgia got no love in running back U-turns. Now, what's even kind of funny about this is I've seen some non-Georgia media also noticing this and kind of asking the question of how come Georgia doesn't get any attention here? You've got Alabama, who comes at number one on this list with Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Sean Alexander. Wisconsin at number two with the thick-ankled guys like Ron Dane, and Melvin Gordon was not thick-ankled, but you can go with the typical Wisconsin running backs kind of like. LSU gets on here with Jacob Hester. Kevin Falk, you can't knock him. He had amazing stats. Leonard Fournette. Oklahoma's on here. Miami's on here. Pitt's on here. Texas. Oregon. They got LeGarrette Blount on here. Didn't LeGarrette Blount get kicked out of college football? How do you have that guy on the list? I thought he got thrown out of the sport for punching a Boise State player. Am I thinking about the right guy on that? I feel like I probably am. Arkansas shows up. Auburn shows up. No top 10 love for Georgia whatsoever. And this is just completely ludicrous. I mean, and I feel like such a hypocrite for saying this, because as I said to somebody on Twitter this morning, I love lists. Love lists. But I like debating lists. And that's all these things are ultimately supposed to be for. They're just sort of a source of debate. I'm going to make an especially hot take on this. What if Herschel Walker didn't exist? If there was no Herschel Walker? I think you can make a case for Georgia being one of the 10 best running backs programs in the history of college football, even without Herschel Walker, who was, I believe, the greatest player of all time. So let's say there's no Herschel Walker. Let's just say Herschel Walker, just for whatever reason, that it was just a figment of our imagination, that never happened. You've got the Chubb and Michelle tandem. You've got Todd Gurley, who's a better pro than Leonard Fournette is by a long shot. You've got Garrison Hurst, who should have won the 92 Heisman. I don't really know what position Frank Sinkwich is counted as having played. I'm not even really sure what college football in the 1940s was all about. So I won't even go Sinkwich trippy, because I'm not even sure really, you know, what football was even really like back then, the leather helmet days. But nonetheless, you know, you might even mention some of the old timers there in that regard. But you could also mention, you know, Robert Edwards, first round pick, friend of the program here on Dog Nation Daily. Talk about the late 80s stuff with Tim Worley and Ronnie Hampton, the way they were cutting up in college football back then. I feel like Georgia has got firm footing to stand on as one of the 10 greatest schools in terms of producing running backs, even if you don't even mention Herschel Walker, who's obviously the greatest player of all time. But once you get to the Herschel, I just think it's an inexcusable omission to not have Georgia on here. Now, Georgia did get some love it was linebacker, right? Georgia's the top linebacker program in all of this. So you get a little bit of love there from that. What do they say about Georgia? Let me see if I can scroll down and find this. So Georgia gets the number one linebacker school by mentioning Roquan Smith, Justin Houston, Alec Ogletree, and Georgia fans going to be proud of that. I think Georgia fans, though, would trade that for the running back thing. You know, I think every program kind of has its own accepted branding, and Georgia fans like being a good running back program. If you gave Georgia fans the choice of being its current offense or being the Oklahoma offense, I think the majority of Georgia fans like the offense the way that it is, because it does accentuate the thing that Georgia fans have already always liked, which are the running backs in this program. So it's all really weird. I think the Georgia linebackers obviously have had great success, especially when you think about the Buckus Award winner, Roquan Smith. But that feels like a little bit of recency bias on the part of the folks from ESPN. Especially at the exclusion of the running back thing. I know Connor Riley also wrote about this for DogNation.com as well. But what a bizarre turn of events there to not see Georgia get that love from ESPN. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, but it is weird. And I at least wanted to talk about that as a part of our program here today. All right, so we've been trying to cover a lot of ground. And one of the things that I attempted to do a little earlier, I did not get a chance to finish. So we were playing some audio earlier of Kirby Smart asked on the SEC Network about the Notre Dame game. And credit to Kirby for not, you know, Laura Rutledge is the first person that asked them the question. And she anticipates that he might try to play the one game at a time. We're only worried about Vanderbilt thing. Credit to him for not really doing that so much. He obviously paid lip service to the fact that you can't really look ahead, but at the same time, we know how big Notre Dame is, and it's perfect, as he said, landscape for their, or backdrop, maybe it's a better phrase, for the 150th year of college football. We know Kirby believes these things because he's been working really hard to schedule these kinds of games in future years for UGA, so this is very on brand for him. But the follow-up to all this, though, is where I thought Kirby Smart actually got pretty funny in being asked about, you know, more about what should Notre Dame fans know about coming to Athens? Kirby Smart said something that I think we all deep down believe is probably true. Here's more from Kirby. I think you'll like this.
Anything for Notre Dame fans that they should know about coming to Athens?
I just don't know if our fans will be as nice as they're
worth.
That's fair to say.
Uncanny ability to be really nice. And in the SEC, we don't always have that.
I think that is so funny. Because I think that, like a lot of things that are really funny, it's just abundantly true. I mean, I have talked to, I'm no exaggeration, I've probably talked to hundreds of people or at least 100 people, maybe not hundreds, at least 100 or so people who were at that Georgia-Notre Dame game, and virtually every single one of them say the same thing. They could not believe how nice the Notre Dame fans were. I'm talking about, it's just, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's like the entire fan base is Mr. Rogers. I mean, they're shaking your hand. They're introducing themselves. They say, you know, hope y'all have a great time here. Boy, y'all really showed out. Great fan support. Great to see this enthusiasm. They were so nice. And I'm not saying that in a mocking tone. I'm not, you know, I'm not laughing, making fun or anything like that. It's just amazing how nice. And so many people in retelling the story about how nice the Notre Dame fans were, it's unbelievable how many said virtually the same thing. Boy, it sure would be nice if our fans were as nice to them when they come here. But deep down, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, it's amazing how many people echoed that identical sentiment. And you essentially have Kirby Smart saying the same thing right there. And listen, I mean, the facts are facts. You know, I love the hospitality that Notre Dame showed. I think you can say there's some things that go on in Georgia right now that may have been somewhat influenced by the Notre Dame hospitality, like the new Silver Dogs, for instance, that welcome people into Sanford Stadium. That's probably an influence that was brought about by the hospitality shown to Georgia at Notre Dame. But ultimately, there's a lot on the line for the Dogs here. And while it's nice to think that some people think of Sanford Stadium as a tourist attraction, certainly Georgia treated Notre Dame Stadium, the Notre Dame campus, as a bit of a tourist attraction. Georgia got some business to take care of. So I'm sure the fans will have their game face on in a big way. And the fact that it's a night game, well, that probably only makes that even more true. All right, a couple things as we get ready to wrap up. First of all, my friends at Online Trading Academy, let me tell you about them. You know, making money in the markets is a great decision to make. Learn from Online Trading Academy in the classroom and online across a spectrum of trading styles, a variety of asset classes. You can find them online yourself by going to tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta, and you can get in touch with my friends at Online Trading Academy. I got kind of an interesting tweet, I guess, yesterday with the announcement being made for a night game. A lot of Georgia fans kind of already getting in on the spirit of this maybe being a blackout time thing with the black jerseys. I'll give you one example of this from Twitter. At MDog2017 says, not trying to be pushy, however, since Georgia Notre Dame is at 8 p.m. on CBS, UGA should definitely do a blackout game. He says Sanford Stadium would be insane. MDog, I wonder how you feel about the fact that Brad Nessler apparently agrees with you on that. By the way, Gator Hater Updater, 998 days. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.